There is a fifth dimension beyond that, which is still unknown to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. Join us on this journey to take a fresh look at a cult classic. Next stop, Twilight Zone. All right.
Good show.
Season 1, Episode 1. Title is Where is Everybody? And the writer of this episode was Rod Serling. So, welcome. I'm Judd.
I'm Tracy.
And we're here to talk about the Twilight Zone from a modern standpoint and have some fun with it.
Yes, it was my first experience, really, in Twilight Zone. I did not watch this series growing up, so for me, it's a super, uber, duper fresh take. And for you, I believe it's a walk down memory lane.
Yes, I used to watch this growing up on KTLA Channel 5 in Los Angeles. And I could tell you all about how there used to be Twilight Zone marathons on New Year's Day. That was the thing.
And you were how old at this time?
I don't know, what, 12 years old, okay. Probably, something like that. Okay. Me and my friends, we'd be like, the Twilight Zone marathon is going on. You know, it's been replaced by the Christmas Story marathon. Well, as a thing to watch. But,
okay.
So, yeah.
So you have a unique perspective in that your imagination was a lot different when you were 12 as opposed to now.
Right.
So, and for me, I think it's just that I don't have any point of reference. So I do enjoy the show, but I also don't have any nostalgia.
Right. So I have the nostalgia and... Yes. Also, it was spooky, and so I have a lot of those memories of the show, which are influential as a point of reference.
Well, let's talk about that,
yeah.
Because this was created in 1958,
yeah.
Is that right?
58, 59,
okay,
yeah.
Which happens to be when NASA mm-hmm. began.
Right.
Okay, and also the space race.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I don't know about you, but... halfway through this, I thought that this was perhaps a test. There were some tells in this where I kind of was able to guess.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So, in this episode, a little synopsis of the first episode that we watched, it's about a guy who walks into this town, and the town is completely deserted. And there seems to be some signs of life, but... he never can really find these signs of life. And once again, the episode's called Where Is Everybody? And he's looking for these, for someone to talk to.
Right. But so much so that there is a cigar burning. There's hot coffee. So it's as if the aliens had came in mm-hmm. and abducted everybody right in that second.
Right.
However... later on, you'll notice that the telephone rings and then nobody answers the telephone. So,
mm-hmm.
and he keeps saying, I feel like people are watching me, somebody's watching me. And so at that point, when you know that somebody's actually trying to call in, that this person knows that there's some outside entity, that's when I started to guess that. I was like, I bet you this is one of those tests.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, yeah, that was one of my notes. I was kind of surprised because I didn't do any of the background to figure out that this was the space race or anything like that, but they did more things to kind of clue you in where he was. I'm in the Air Force and
so you know what's interesting about this, and I'm going to bring up these references that you may not get, but I know some of our listeners are going to get, which is the movie The Right Stuff. Did you ever see that movie?
I did.
So maybe you remember that as part of the testing in The Right Stuff for these astronauts, they put them in a chamber for an extended period of time. And you might remember some of the candidates went crazy in that room. And that nurse that was in that hospital would look in the window at them, and they were doing things to mess with the astronauts. They would press buttons to make steam go on and things like that.
Okay.
You don't remember that.
But I don't remember that, but I did watch Altered States when I was pretty young.
Oh, okay.
So that would be, I guess, my point of reference for the Isolation Chamber. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about... besides the have the space race, what do you think is the commentary on this solitary confinement?
Well, I think that in the 50s, they had no idea. They hadn't yet gone to the moon. They hadn't yet put a man in space mm-hmm. when this episode... So I think there was a lot of wondering, what's it like to be isolated so long
mm-hmm.
in by yourself? And so this was kind of a take on, like, man can't live alone. That we need to have okay. human interaction, people, so we don't go crazy.
But don't they do that to prisoners?
Well, for short periods of time. In this case, they said it was like something like 494 hours or some crazy, you know, enough to go to the moon, do a couple orbits, and come back is what the general said. Is how long he had been in isolation.
So, so there is some prisoners of San Quentin that actually spent years in isolation.
Like, with no human...
This guy had human contact.
He did.
Because they fed him and they cleaned him. Mm-hmm. And so he actually did have contact. So I think that this series very closely mimics... the way we treat prisoners, only they're trying to get this guy to space. So even though he failed mm-hmm. In the series, they're still going to let him go. So he lost his marbles, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the end, they're still going to let this guy go to space.
They're still moving forward, yeah.
With the same guy.
Well, it sounds like it.
That is 1958 Peter Principle. 100%.
Yeah. Well, there was another movie mm-hmm. about going into space.
Okay.
Did you ever hear about the movie Passenger?
Yes, of course.
Right. So in that movie, they go into space. They're going on this very long journey, and they put everybody in hyperspace sleep mode.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the characters in the movie is woken up. There's a malfunction or something like that. And he is, by himself.
He is awakened.
He's awakened.
By the ship.
Yeah.
Because he's a mechanic to fix it. So.
Yeah.
In fact, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, this guy.
Yeah.
I think. I'm trying to figure out what his overall gist was, because all of those other shows, maybe they were directly off of this, or maybe Passengers was off of The Right Stuff, and The Right Stuff was off of this one, but. So far as I know, there was no references before this, right?
As far as isolation? I couldn't tell you a movie or a story where a person is placed in total isolation for an extended period of time
mm-hmm.
and that they're trying to figure out how to, get that human contact.
Right. So in this show, it says the one thing that they can't simulate is... man's need for companionship.
Mm-hmm.
So what is your barrier to loneliness?
The internet, right? Today we have the internet. If you're alone, you can go online, you can chat with people, you can interact.
But wouldn't this guy be talking to NASA?
Well, that's what I would have thought. And he said that you can watch movies, we can give you all these things, but you can't have a substitute for real life interaction with people. That was the Rod Serling as the story writer's philosophy, that he believed that you need to have person. And in fact, we sent men into space for extended periods of time. They've never gone alone. The only time they went alone was in the original Mercury 7, and they were not gone very long. Mm-hmm. They were up and they were down. They really were not isolated for extended periods of time.
Well,
right.
Yes, mm-hmm. I don't know if you noticed that he talked to the mirror a lot.
No, I didn't.
Yes, when he was eating his little sundae, he was talking to himself in the mirror.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember that he actually ran straight into the mirror at an image of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, also why birds also hit the side of buildings, because they fly right at the other bird.
Oh.
It's the first time I've seen a person do that.
Wow.
So what if they just put a mirror in the...
But wasn't it, interesting? So you talk about he would talk to the mirror to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked at himself, and then he brought up the whole Ebenezer Scrooge story.
Mm-hmm.
He, in a way, knew he was asleep. You know, he said, "Wake me up. This is a bad dream, but it's so vivid and real. It can't be." You know, and so you don't know yet. The big reveal doesn't come out until, you know, almost towards the very, very end, that in fact he's hallucinating all of this. You know, all we know is we are being on this journey with this guy,
mm-hmm.
and he is now losing it in total isolation. But he knows. He's like, you know, I'm just a bit of, you know, mustard or whatever, spoiled food.
Yeah, but the Ebenezer Scrooge is saying that to a ghost.
Right, and he's saying
it's not. I don't even know why he brought it up. He's not talking to a ghost. He's by himself.
He's talking to himself. He's looking in the mirror and talking to a reflection of himself.
Of himself, like it's a ghost.
Like it's a ghost.
Yeah, that's a little bizarre.
And so it's almost as if he knows this is not real. Can't be real. This cannot be.
I just thought it was odd. I don't know why he would. I don't know why he chose to use Ebenezer Scrooge, because that's such a weird... I had that in there. There's more grave than gravy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was one of the things that stood out to me, and the film is not making any sense.
Hmm.
I didn't feel like it made any relevance until the end, when they said that they were... I assumed what they were saying is that they were playing films for this guy. This is the stimulus that he's getting, and that was what was helping him create the story that he was seeing.
So let's bring it to modern times.
Mm-hmm.
Because now we're, you know, the point of references that they had were that he was, you know, back in that time period, they didn't have access to movies like today. They didn't really have access to video, live video streaming like we have today. There's so much that you don't have, they didn't have then. They didn't even know. I mean, it would have been black and white, and it would have been horrible, and it would have been, you know, it wouldn't have felt real like it does today.
That's true. You don't have to send someone to space. You can put them in a simulator, and they would have a hard time knowing. If you gave them just the right drug and then played the movie, or sent them over to the Kennedy Space Center mock-up.
Well, right. Well, you know...
How would they know?
You know, they did that thing over at Disney with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had that whole galaxy thing where it was supposed to be like you're in space. The hotel, once you go inside, you're in a spaceship.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
Yeah, they closed it down after 2 years.
Well, nobody liked it?
People loved it, but they said it didn't make money or something. I don't know. But it was like an immersive Star Wars experience, and you're supposed to be in space.
That sounds amazing.
I know, right?
And they're genius at monetizing. So what is it? Now are we going back to the barrier of loneliness? Is it a bunch of people on a spaceship and no one talks to anybody?
Well, that was supposed to be like a space cruise ship, like a galaxy cruiser. And you're on the galaxy cruiser, and you go and eat with people like you're on a cruise, and you have like these experiences with other passengers, and you play a character in the Star Wars universe.
It sounds fun. I know,
right?
I don't understand. Isolation. I think you answered your own question. So in modern times, it's Disney's Star Wars,
whatever they've got going on.
It shut down after 2 years, so I'm going to say nobody cares about that.
No, nobody
cares.
Nobody
is interested in doing what this guy did.
Right. Well, but the loneliness factor. Do you need human physical in the room connection to people? Or can you
absolutely not.
Or can you be completely a hermit and live alone and not have that?
Well, but for how long? I mean, this guy made it for 2.5 weeks. There's guys that sail around the world by themselves in a ship. They're fine. They don't lose it.
That's a good point right there. So
it's the same difference. Right?
Right. What about...
It could be done.
You know, people are stranded on a desert island that's happened or choose to be on an isolated island. They keep themselves busy with all sorts of things.
If you have food and the internet, you know, and your basic needs are met.
Yeah.
With the internet, no. That there is no, like you said at the beginning, that is your barrier to loneliness. That's it. You get the internet, you can talk to as many people as you want, have as many pretend whatever.
Right.
Done. So I feel like in 60 years later, we have solved the problem.
Okay, so one last element to throw into this. One more monkey. Does it have to be human? Can you have a pet? Will that save off loneliness?
100%.
Yeah?
Not only a pet, but those really humanoid mannequin dolls. People are paying about $4,000 to $6,000for a synthetic girlfriend.
Oh, like talks?
Not yet. No, it doesn't talk. No, but one guy bought one and he actually had to put a sign on his car because he would drive around with her and it looks really real. And people were thinking that she was dead because she didn't move, but she looked real. And so he had to put a sign on there saying that this is not a live human. This is a blah, 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 blah.
Wow. But did he get to drive in the carpool lane?
Hell yeah, he did. I think that's what started it. You know? Started as like a blow up, and he's like, this just doesn't look real enough. And then, yeah. So, yeah, I'm just saying, in our modern time, we have solved all the problems this guy has talked about. Mm.
All right. Well, sounds like what their fears of loneliness are not necessarily a thing. But you know what? I do think that people still get lonely. And they get lonely. You can be with somebody and be lonely, and you can not be with somebody, and you can not be lonely. It works both ways.
You can be with the wrong person and be even more lonely than you were if you were by yourself.
That's what I was getting at. Okay, 100%. That's exactly what I was getting at.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a modern problem.
Companionship does not really equal does not equal... What would you call it? Freedom from loneliness, or
it does not break down your barrier to loneliness.
Correct. Yes. Because you have to have a real gel of a relationship. I think something common, stuff that you like. Because if you don't want to do something with somebody, if you hate them,
I think that the barrier to being an astronaut isn't being by yourself for 2.5 weeks.
No.
I don't think that's the most difficult part of being an astronaut.
What's the most difficult part?
Having, in my mind, the most difficult part is just having your life hang by a thread of so many different pieces of technology and people to make it all the way there and all the way back.
Oh, I know we're going over time a little bit, but
we can save it till next episode. Sure.
Well, I just one more is The Martian, the movie The Martian, and they're on Mars. Everyone dies, right, on the planet. They populate it. And there's one guy left.
They were actually trying to populate.
Right, but but what's his name? The actor who played him,
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. You know, he's stuck on Mars and trying to make it by himself for a long time until that resupply ship can get there.
Until they can come and pick him up. Yeah. Yes. Well, everybody didn't die. What happened was they were set to leave, and there was a dust storm.
Right.
And they thought he died in the dust storm, and so they took off. And then on their journey back home, NASA, one person at NASA keeps noticing that this vehicle is moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how they figured out that he's alive. So it wasn't that he was he wasn't supposed to stay there.
Right.
He got stuck there. Right.
I thought he was out trying to get a satellite put out there, or he was doing something, because they needed to leave because there was going to be a big storm or
yes.
something like that.
Yeah, and yeah, he got. I don't remember the exact. And actually, I read the book. It's an amazing book.
Yeah.
Andy Weir wrote that book, and it stunning. It absolute stunning book, and the movie was fantastic too. And yeah, he certainly would get lonely, but guess what? He was still able to communicate with other people.
Right.
So he never lost his mind.
He grew some sort of potato thing.
He
did all sorts of stuff to make it happen.
But again, I think the worst or the most difficult part about being an astronaut is that scenario. Just out there trying to wing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you land on the moon, and all of a sudden, the vehicle that you need to go back to your ship is broken.
Right. That stuff has got to work.
Yeah.
There's
got
to be backups to backups.
Yeah. Forget about, you know, I'm worried about being lonely. I don't care.
Right.
You know, any of that other stuff, that to me is like the reason I won't sail around the world. It's like you're doomed. If you wreck on a reef in the middle of the ocean, good luck.
Right.
You have to, you know, a lot of times you have to try to get yourself out of that situation, and I am not prepared. I don't have that kind of information. I don't even have that kind of belief that I could dig myself out of that hole.
So how
That's
do,
a lot.
Yeah. So how do we end this podcast?
Boop. See you next time.
No, we can't end
We're
like
out.
That. No, we have to have a conclusion.
I think the conclusion is that this was inadequate astronaut training. However, he didn't know. But I appreciate that he explored the fact that it is entirely possible to get out there in space, lose contact with all human being, and then lose your ship. That is a very real thing. And it absolutely could happen. So I think it was a valid test that they did. What bothers me is he failed it, and they're like, well, we're still taking you out of space. It's like, eh, no, next. There should have been a next.
There should be a next.
Somebody else.
And there will be a next, because join us next week
for our
next
season podcast. Episode 2.
Right. And actually, we should set, and the next, what do you call it? The next episode is called One for the Angels.
These folks know this. They're old hat like you.
I know. Well, you know, at the end of every episode, Rod Serling would say, join us next week for
well,
the
let's
next
do
episode.
It.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Right? So our next episode, One for the Angels. All right. For you have now. We need a closing.
You've now exited.
You have just now... You have just been Twilight Zoned. How do we do that?